welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Well, good Monday morning. I hope your weekend has treated you well and you are looking ahead to a week that is going to be full of great potential. I have no doubt. With today's topic being charisma and charm, I am confident as well that knowing a little bit more about how to convey charm and to exude this supposed natural charisma, which you will cultivate with the habits we're going to talk about today, you will increase the potential for your week to go even better than it may have already been going or will go. I want to start today's episode with a quote from the book that has inspired today's episode, from The Charisma Myth by Olivia Fox Cobain. She states, quote, "A knife can be used both to heal and to hurt. Whether in the hands of a surgeon or the hands of a criminal, it's the same instrument. Tools are seldom good or bad per se. It's what you do with your charisma that matters," end quote. So it definitely is something to think about. Charisma is a tool. That's all it is. That's all it is. In the right hands, it can yield amazing results and help so many people. In the wrong hands, it can be absolutely destructive and hurtful. At the heart of someone who possesses real charisma is that the people in their presence feel special and walk away from that interaction with a boost of energy, a shot of confidence, and the knowledge that they've been heard, noticed, seen. However, it's important to point out that in the hands of the wrong people or people with the wrong intentions, charisma can devastate. This is when charisma turns into the alter ego of suave, unctuous, or ingratiating. In other words, too polished to be real. Much like the adage, with great power comes great responsibility, learning the tool of charm must be used carefully and respectfully. While we may assume that we are either born with charm or not, this is good news. This is false. You're not born with charm. You may have a personality that's more adept at becoming charming. Maybe you're more gregarious. Maybe you're more extroverted. But anyone can become charming. It is a skill. It is a skill. And based on whether we've been observing someone our whole lives, subconsciously we're observing our parents, a sibling, a friend who just seems to know how to get along with people, and then we emulate or mirror that behavior. This could be how we learn charisma. This could be how we learn charm. Or we could learn it out of need. We need to figure out a way to charm to survive. And then we continue to use it because it works and it helps us to thrive. This is very good news. We can learn to become more charismatic. And even better, upon realizing that it's a learned trait, we can then realize the power it yields. Whereas if we subconsciously picked up said qualities or abilities, we may not realize how devastating such charisma can hold. But now that we know, we can use it positively to not only help ourselves, but to uplift or help those around us as well. Charm has this ability to gain us favor, to garner desired attention, to strengthen relationships, and it could lead us to even greater success. If we pair charisma with integrity, that is a surefire combination for a very sound night's sleep and a life lived traveling a path of contentment and fulfillment. So what exactly makes someone appear or be charming? Olivia Fox Cobain points out that it is a combination of two things, here we go, that person exudes high power and they exude high warmth. Those around you, when you have these two components, those around you perceive you to be someone who is willing and potentially able to influence the world in a positive way. And just as importantly, they also define you as someone who is trustworthy and genuine. So after diving into the charisma myth, I have made a list of 17 ways or habits that will help us all to become, I'm using air quotes here, I know you can't see me, but naturally charismatic. In doing so, you will be able to, by the end of this podcast, be on your way to improving the quality of your life as you practice these tools and gradually turn them into habits. I think they say between 7 to 11 usages of anything consistently. You use it habitually, it becomes that habit. It becomes that default in your mind and your memory. So let's get started. Let's dive in. 17, we have a lot to get through. I will have all of them listed on the show notes, the simplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast22. So if you want to print it out, but I'm going to talk about it today, kind of share some examples as we go. And if you have any comments of how it's worked for you or things maybe it's that have been more difficult for you when it comes to working on charm, please comment in the comment section below today's post. I would love to hear from you. All right. Number one is we must successfully manage our mind. Olivia Fox Cobain basically points out that our mind is an ecosystem and we have got to tend to it. We've got to care for it. We've got to be very conscious of what we allow to dance around in. And we've talked about this a few times before on the blog with regards to mastering our minds. And that's exactly what we need to do when it comes to charisma. We have got to learn about that graffiti on the wall and realize that it is just graffiti. That things aren't as horrible or as negative as we may initially assume because we're trying to be protective of ourselves, or survival mode may kick in when we don't know what's going to happen or we don't have control of a situation. We've got to clear out the negative, be realistic, be rational, not be this uber optimistic person that doesn't or refuses to see the realities in front of them. Now, when we do that, we can then be more open. We can then be more engaging. So number one is successfully manage your mind. Manage your mind. Number two is to check the tone of your voice. When you state a sentence, make sure the end of the sentence ends on a lower intonation. By simply doing that, you convey confidence of whatever it is you're talking about. If you end on a high note, it sounds doubtful, dubious. You're not certain about what you said. It's as if you've ended with a question mark, even if you're declaring something, So be very clear about how you speak. Know how you're speaking. Know how it sounds. Again, the goal is to convey confidence. This is part of that exuding high power. You want people to believe that you know what it is you're talking about and you can lead them in a positive and successful direction. And ending on a high note at the end of your sentence doesn't necessarily, studies have shown, lead people to think you know what you're talking about, even if you do. So check your tone. Number three goes along with number two. So I'm gonna put these two back to back. Number three is to speak slower, to take longer pauses in between sentences or thoughts or ideas that you're sharing with people. Now, this is definitely something that I still need to work on, because I can be a motorboat and talk a mile a minute when I get excited about something. And while I may know what I'm talking about, I may be very clear about what I'm talking about, I've spoken so quickly. Number one, people probably didn't catch everything I was saying. And number two, it comes off usually in a higher tone, because I'm talking very quickly and I get excited. So my notes go up and I go, oh my gosh, let's do this. We can do this. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about it. And so number two has been dashed. And then number three has been dashed because I've also sped up too quickly. So when you speak slower, you're basically demonstrating I'm calm. I'm certain about this. Come with me or listen to me. I think you might be interested. And that's number three. Speak slower. Take longer pauses between ideas. And number four, and this is a big one, if you think about it and you think about the people that you gravitate towards as far as feeling comfort and security, it's someone who is calm. Someone who is calm. Think about a situation where an event happened, it was unexpected. Maybe it's an emergency. Maybe it was just an unexpected scenario that you hadn't planned for, or the people in that particular situation hadn't planned for. It's the people with a level head that take a breath, that don't jump to conclusions, that don't overreact, that exude that confidence, that certainty, that security, and thus that high power that we spoke about at the top of the episode, that is one of the two components for exuding true charisma. So remain calm. If nothing else, your brain may be going a mile a minute crazy, stressed out. Keep in mind that analogy. Behave like a duck, calm above the water, paddling like mad underneath where no one can see. So the goal is to convey an image of certainty, and thus you draw more people to you. They look to you for that guidance. When you don't know, you can definitely ask. I'm not saying to fake it till you make it kind of thing, but at least say, hey, I don't know, but I'm going to go check it out. Or I think this is the path. I'm going to investigate a little further and then I will get back to you. Even speaking and being calm when you share that kind of information of uncertainty exudes self-assurance, not only to yourself, but assurance to those listening, saying, okay, you know what? They're honest. They don't know, but they'll check it out. I trust that they will, just simply by how you've spoken, what your behavior is. That's number 4, remain calm. 5 is something that is so hard to do these days. And so when it does happen, it is appreciated more than most people realize. Number 5 is to be completely present. This requires to ignore, requires us to ignore our cell phones. This requires us to be completely engaged with that person we're having a conversation with, to shut out basically the rest of the world. Recently, I was spending some time with some new people that I didn't know. And at the end of the evening, I reflected on the fact that I really enjoyed their company and I really enjoyed the conversation. And I made a note that, well, why was that the case? We weren't interrupted by any dings, any rings, anybody checking their cell phones. Cell phones weren't even on the table. And it was so nice. I have to say it was absolutely much appreciated. And it's a habit that I try to be aware of and realize that multitasking, as we've talked about before, isn't necessarily an effective way to do anything. And number 2, if I choose to be with that person, I need to choose to be with them or that group of people. And that means putting the cell phone away and checking it later. And that's a form of paying some that respect. And that is part of what charm is all about. Feeling respected when you're with someone. This requires us to be completely engaged with that person we're having a conversation with, to shut out basically the rest of the world. One of the things the charisma myth talks about is that we still have this survival behaviorism that is when we hear something that catches our attention, maybe it's a loud noise, maybe it's something out of the ordinary. We are instinctively drawn to respond, to look, to see what it is, to protect ourselves because we don't know what it is. We don't know if we need to take shelter or protect ourselves or cover our heads, whatever. So it makes sense and it's honest. It's not that we're trying to be rude, but what it does convey is that the person in front of you is not as important as something else around you, whatever it is. So by being completely present, you're telling that person, I am here, I'm listening, I want to know what you have to say. And you're making them feel validated. You're telling them that they matter. And you can only continue to make that genuine by the what you say to show that you really were listening and follow through. But that's the first step, being completely present. So put down that cell phone, put it on silence, check it when you're on your own later, and give that attention that we often take for granted to that person you're having a conversation with. I know that when you're on the receiving end of someone who gives you their full attention, it is one of the most amazing gifts that is absolutely priceless, absolutely priceless. So number 5, be completely present. I want to pause here for a second and talk about the heart of what charisma is. Simplistically, it's putting ourselves in someone else's shoes and trying to see the world through their eyes. What do they need? What are they looking for? How can I make them feel special, that they matter, that I've heard what they've said? It's not about making sure they've heard everything we have to say. It's about having them walk away, feeling that they've been heard, that that moment mattered, and giving them a bit of an inspiration, a hope, a more positive, walking away saying, I want to be around this person because they make me feel good. Could be that they make me want to be a better person. It could be something very simple like, that made my day a little bit better. Who doesn't want to be around those kind of people? That's someone with charisma. So it really is a bit of a selfless act when we use charm with integrity to really stop thinking about ourselves for a moment and say, okay, what does this person need right now? What would make this person feel comfortable? What does this person want to say? How do they want to be heard? What is it? And that is the ultimate foundation of what charisma is. Okay, let's get back to our list. We finished number 5. Let's jump to number 6. And it kind of ties in with what I just talked about. But number 6 is focus on others. Focus on others. Olivia Fox Cobain basically says, we want to make people, other people, those that we're engaged with, feel intelligent, impressive, and fascinating upon walking away from us. If we can do that, we've mastered this tool called charm. Number 6, focus on others. Number 7, offer goodwill towards others. Offer goodwill towards others. Do what you can to make their day a little bit better. Say something complimentary that is genuine and from the heart, and you've thought about it. Put yourself again in their shoes and ask, okay, what could they use right now to make their lives a little bit better, even if it's just a moment to catch their breath and not be stressed out about something that's happened in the past. Lend a helping hand. Pick up, could be groceries for a family member because they're so busy, or it could be stopping by their house to see if they're doing well. Whatever it is, think about what it would be that they need and help out any way you can. Simply by saying hello. Simply by saying hello. Simply by saying good morning. Genuinely saying good morning. Number 7, offer goodwill towards others. Number 8, offer a true smile. True charisma is sincere thoughtfulness and enjoyment of other people's company, those people that you are with. And when we smile with our eyes, not just the corners of our mouth, not just with our lips, we are saying, I really genuinely want to be here. I enjoy your company. I'm happy to see you. When your eyes crinkle, when you have the good wrinkles around your eyes, you know you've offered more than your fair share of genuine smiles to others. So smile with your eyes. Smile with your eyes as well as your mouth. Number 9, stop comparing. A common theme again on this blog and podcast, but stop comparing. If you're constantly thinking about what you do need to do to keep up with the Joneses, you're getting into that negative thinking track. You're getting in front of yourself, getting your own way. Stop comparing yourself. Just enjoy being who you are, doing what you're doing, and enjoy the company of others, and stop looking at them and comparing yourself to them. They are who they are. Appreciate them. Appreciate what they're doing. Be excited for how well they're doing or what's going on in their lives. And that is more likely to be reciprocated back to you. It won't be reciprocated all the time by everyone because others do compare as well. But if we all try to learn a little bit better how to stop comparing ourselves to others. So number 9, stop comparing. Okay, before we get to the remaining 8, I'm going to take a quick 1-minute intermission and I will see you on the other side. Welcome back. We have 8 more habits to dive into when it comes to becoming a charismatic person. Number 10 is to use our memory as a tool. And a huge part of charisma is having this self-assuredness about ourselves, this underlying confidence. And so whatever situation we find ourselves in, we are conveying this warmth, this natural warmth that just radiates from us. It draws people to us. They enjoy being in our proximity, in our conversation, or in just around us. And so if we are feeling nervous and agitated or negative, we push that away. Now, there are going to be times when we aren't feeling real confident, when we may be in a new situation or a situation that's pretty significant that we knock it out of the park for whatever reason. It could be in a professional or personal life. And what Olivia Fox Cobain suggests is that when we know we're going to be a little nervous or anxious, we should visualize events that have happened in the past, so diving back into our memory, things that we remember, where we felt very triumphant, or we felt very triumphant and successful. It could have been maybe you're diving into a new job, a new career, and you're going in for a new interview and you're just not sure about yourself. This is new, this is different. I'm not confident that I can do this. Take that time before going into that new interview to maybe recall an instance where you did feel really successful in a previous career that was brand new to you, or an interview that you did do really well. And what is it that you did well? And why did you feel confident? What happened? How did you prep? So you're going in with this positive mindset. You're grabbing onto positive energy that you already cultivated in your past. We all have those moments. Some of us may have to really dig for them because we're not used to cultivating them, but we have them. We have them. So using our memory as a tool, using our mind as a tool, it really can be used for good if we think about it in those terms. Okay, I need to get my mindset. I need to remind myself what I do well. I need to remind myself of what happened in the past that was successful, that was celebratory. So number 10, use your memory as a tool. Number 11, this one was an interesting one. And I had to start thinking, I stopped and reread this one a few times, but it was rev up your oxytocin. Oxytocin is that connection kind of natural drug in our body, to call it that, but it's something our body naturally creates when we feel when we feel connected to someone. And it's usually with physical contact, and it's that human touch. And sometimes that human touch is what will push it. Not sometimes. Science has proven that oxytocin revs up our positive energy, gets us to want to connect more to people, to open up, to actually allow ourselves to be more vulnerable. And so if we physically have a hug, this is what Olivia Cobain suggests, if we physically have a hug before we go on stage to give a big speech, or we go out and to do something that's brand new to us, we're a little bit nervous about, or dive into a conversation with a group of new people, that will actually rev up that willingness to be more, not necessarily social, but open and warm. And if we can't have that hug, an actual physical hug, before we go into whatever these new situations are that may rev up our anxiety a little bit, we can actually, kind of going back to number 10, use a memory tool of having hugged someone that we love or hold dear to us, a parent, a friend, a significant other, to give us that boost of positive adrenaline, to connect, to be warm, to open up. So number 11, to help your charm factor, that tool of charisma, is rev up your oxytocin. Remember those moments when you were physically connected to someone who made you feel good, feel safe, feel loved. Number 12 is to let go of expectation. This is where it's better to have an intention and then let it go, rather than expectation and then be disappointed if it doesn't meet exactly that bullseye target that you're setting. So the suggestion from the charisma myth is to, in moments of uncertainty, recall or recollect things that you can be grateful for right then. So say you're going, here's a good one. So say you are going to meet someone new. Maybe it's a blind date. Maybe it's someone, one of your friends thinks you're just going to hit it off with beautifully. All right. Maybe you're just not feeling it. And you're like, oh man, not again. This isn't working again. You got to be kidding me. Well, instead of getting down and not enjoying the moment, reflect on everything that's going well in your life. Hey, you got a job. You got a great job. You got a roof over your head. You got fantastic friends. You have an education. You've paid off your student debts. Whatever it is, find those moments to be that you can be thankful for, those things in your life to be grateful for. And you will return to that moment that maybe isn't going as well as you had hoped. Your expectation was that the date would go really well. Maybe it's not going as well as you had hoped, but you're still in the middle of it. Grab on to those moments of gratitude, those things of gratitude, and your charm factor is going to amp up. And it may not turn the date around entirely, but it will put you in a position of being warm, receptive, and confident, and calm, because you're remembering and being aware that you have a lot to be grateful for. And this is just a moment to put in your bag and remember. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So number 12, let go of expectation and reflect on what you can be grateful for. 13 is a physical presence. Be aware of your posture. Walk tall. Use your space. Fill the space. Now, this is a little bit different for men and women, but not entirely. Not entirely. While women do tend to cross their legs as they should if they're wearing a dress, it's still about, you can still sit in a manner that put your arms, you know, take up some space at the desk. Put your arms out. Don't put your arms folded at your chest all the time. Take up space. Command a presence. This exudes confidence again. A huge component just is to look as though you know you need to be there or should be there and deserve to be there. It's not about being arrogant. It's not about putting your nose in the air. It's about standing in a manner that exudes confidence, sitting in a manner that exudes confidence so that people are drawn to you. They want to be there. They want to hear what you have to say. They trust that you will lead them in the right direction. They trust that you will lead them in the right direction. So number 13, your physical presence. Walk tall, sit large. 14, this one is great. I love this one. And I, you know, I probably have done this one a few times subconsciously, not even aware of it, or unconsciously, I should say. But it's warm-ups do help. So say you have a nerve-wracking event that you're about to go to, and you know you've got to be your best self. You got to exude that charm. You got to be able to talk to whoever you need to talk to. You got to sell yourself if it's at a job interview, whatever it is. Plan the day prior to this big event, whatever it is, or this really important event. Maybe it's not a big event, but a very important event to you. Plan the events leading up to it so that you're in the right frame of mind. You have good energy. And you go into it feeling good about yourself, whatever it is. Maybe it's going to making sure that you get your hair done. Maybe that way you have to stress about your hair, you know it'll look great. Maybe it's hanging out with a very good friend that you always walk away feeling a bit of boost, a bit of a confidence boost, feeling good about yourself. They remind you about what you're capable of. Whatever it is that you need, plan your day accordingly. Be proactive so that you can then put forth your best self when you sit down or go to or attend whatever event it is that's maybe causing you to be a little bit on edge. So number 14, warm-ups help. 15 is speak visually. And we talk a lot about this in one of my English classes. We talk about this idea of painting a picture in the reader's mind, whether it's using an analogy with regards to rhetorical devices, whether it's using imagery with regards to literary devices. This idea that so many people are visual, and whether they actually are visually seeing it, actually physically see it before their eyes, or you painted it so clearly, it's like they almost can see it literally before their eyes, but it's just a matter of in their brains. They're just putting the pieces together and like, oh my gosh, I can get this. I can see this. I see exactly what you're talking about. Use metaphors, use comparisons that they will understand. So this is a huge part about this is knowing your audience. What is their experiences coming to this conversation? And if you know that, you hold a key to helping them either understand or see things from your perspective. And that is something that kind of is about putting yourself in their shoes, knowing what they need, knowing what they want, knowing how to communicate clearly with them. So painting visual images with regards to either analogies, anecdotes, using imagery, things like that. Number 15, speaking visually. 16 is be humble. Be humble. Humility is a quality that those who have charm have mastered. It's not about ignoring or pushing aside compliments when they come to you. You do want to accept compliments graciously, but it's also about being able to, in that moment, recognize that there are others that helped you to be where you are, reach where you've reached, be successful, whatever it is, and acknowledging that. Even if it's something as simple as, you look like you're having a great day today. I mean, who are you going to credit on that one, right? But what you do by simply saying thank you, you're acknowledging that person who's complimented you, and you're saying thanks for noticing. I really appreciate your thoughtfulness. So, being humble, acknowledging those that have helped you get where you are. Is simply about being aware. Is simply about being aware and being outside of yourself and being gracious and paying paying that gratitude to those who no doubt were selfless in their help with you to get where you are. Number 16 is be humble, a very charismatic habit to use in your day-to-day life. And the last one is a physical one, very powerful. And I bring this up last because recently there was an article in the New York Times and I included it in my This and That number 141. And it spoke to a study done by Arthur Aaron, who presented this idea that if these two components, asking these 36 personal questions and looking into your partner's eyes or potential future partner's eyes for 4 straight minutes, you can actually be more likely to have a lasting relationship with this person. Now, he even went as far as to say they're more likely to marry each other, but just it improves or deepens any kind of relationship if you're able to get through those 36 questions, number one, but also that 4-minute mark of looking into each other's eyes. So number 17 is to maintain contact. Now, eye contact. Now, I'm not saying stare at every person that you have a conversation with for 4 minutes. No. But I want you to be aware of the power of eye contact because it does convey self-assurance and confidence. And someone who's constantly looking away or who won't look in your eye gives off a negative vibe, this lack of trust, this uncertainty, as though they may be hiding something or unsure of something. And it may not even be the case. They may have something in their eye. I don't know. But not looking in someone's eye is a definite sign that maybe I should reconsider trusting what this person is saying or believing what they have to say. So number 17 is to maintain eye contact. Consistent eye contact. Obviously, you're going to want to blink and you're going to want to look away or look down every once in a while, but that also is about being present and letting them know that I am in this conversation with you and no one else. And that conveys, again, importance of that person to you. And that leads them to walk away thinking, I was heard. I matter. And that, again, is part of what being charismatic is all about. It's about the person you're with, not about you. It's more of a selfless act than a selfish act. All right. We just went through 17 habits of how to be a bit more charismatic. That's a lot, I know. So if you want to go back to the blog to look at the show notes to get all 17 of them, feel free, www.thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast22. And you can print that out with a simple click of a button there at the bottom of the post. I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Charisma is a powerful tool, and the good news is we can all possess it. The most important thing to keep in mind is to be aware of how we use it. Because when we use it for good, not only do our lives improve, but those around us as well. If this topic is of interest to you, I highly recommend picking up Olivia Fox Cobain's book, The Charisma Myth, How Anyone Can Master the Art and Science of Personal Magnetism. And I'll provide links on today's show notes for that book as well. Do stay tuned for this week's Petite Pleasure, and I'll be with you on the other side in just a few seconds. All right, welcome back. This week's Petite Pleasure is something you can do that is very, very simple, that can help end your day in a very calm and tranquil manner. And we've talked before about lighting a candle, perhaps, before you go to bed. This is similar to that, but less a worrisome, just in case you fall asleep, I guess you could say. I love putting linen spray, fresh lavender linen spray, and I'm going to share with you my favorite one that I've used from a local boutique that makes their own and sells online. And they use lemon zest, garden herbs, a little bit of mint, and lavender. And it is absolutely divine to go to bed at night and have that scent just subtly right there by your nose as you're trying to doze off. There's something about that scent. And I know not everyone prefers scents and they're very sensitive to that. So if that's the case, obviously dismiss this entirely. But my favorite linen spray comes from bcroby.com online. And I actually grew up with the owner of bcroby in the Wallowa County. And he has the most delightful boutique if you're ever in Joseph, Oregon. You must stop in. He has all sorts of home products as well as clothing. And all of the home products he makes himself, from the soaps to the sprays and so on and so forth. And this linen spray, I provide a link on today's show notes so you can get it. It's only $10.95 and it will last forever. It will last a long time. But all I do is spritz it on my pillows when I've freshly laundered my sheets. Some people also spritz it on their bath towels or their robes, things like that. Something just to activate your senses, start to calm you down as you get ready to go to bed. I've also shared a link on today's show notes for Mrs. Meyer's Lavender Linen Spray. You can look into that as well for less than $10. And you can even make your own linen spray. And I have included the recipe for that on the show notes, but I'll talk you through it here right now as well. So if you want some linen lavender spray, find yourself an adorable little spray bottle. There's all sorts of different types out there. So go shop around in your local department store or grocery store, wherever you are. They're everywhere, it seems like, or storables or container store, wherever, and find a spray bottle. And then what you're going to want to do is find a lavender essential oil, and you're going to dilute this way down. So you just use 1 teaspoon of it, to be very careful with it. And then you're going to dilute it with, or combine it, I should say, with 1/4 cup of unflavored vodka. And what that alcohol does, what the vodka does, is it actually keeps the spray's scent fresh longer, and it makes the scent stronger as well. It increases the intensity of that smell. So that's why you're adding that unflavored vodka to it. If you don't have unflavored vodka, other recipes out there have suggested using witch hazel as well. Then you dilute it down with 3.5 cups of water. Mix it up, and there you go. You have your own linen spray, lavender linen spray. Obviously, you can use other essential oils, but lavender oil is one of the safer ones. There are all sorts of other ones out there, but I would definitely look into them before using them and be very careful with them. But when in doubt, go buy one. And like I said, I highly recommend B. Crowby's, as it has those scents of lemon zest, a little bit of lavender, mint, and garden herbs. It's just absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. All these links and the recipe will be on today's show notes. www.thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast22. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, a recipe, or from time to time, introduce you to an expert who offers insight into how to live simply, luxuriously, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonjour.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.